All right, so today we're diving headfirst into Arthurian legends, but get ready for a twist. This isn't the Knights and Round Table story you might be used to.
It never really is it? Arthurian legends always seem to have another layer to uncover.
Exactly. We're used to the romance, the magic, right? But what about the nitty-gritty? The power struggles, the culture clashes, the human choices these characters are forced to make? That's where we're headed. We're taking a deep dive into Tracy Cooper Posey's Grace of Lancelot.
You know, this book, it takes those familiar faces, Arthur, Guinevere, Lancelot, and puts them in a world that feels so real.
It really does. And to guide us through this world, Cooper Posey introduces us to Cahedon. He's a prince from Lesser Britain. It's like he's our window into Camelot.
And let me tell you, he doesn't arrive at the calmest of times. Not at all. Arthur, the legendary king, he's carrying the weight of the past, you see. The victory at the Battle of Badon, as significant as it was, it seems to linger. You know, it makes you wonder, can even the greatest victory truly bring lasting peace?
It really makes you think, what does a king do after he's won the ultimate battle? And it's not just that. Arthur's dealing with the loss of Kai, a close friend. We see a different side to this, supposedly invincible figure.
Absolutely. Cooper Posey really drives home that even legends grieve, even kings experience loss.
And in the middle of all of this, you have Guinevere. Imagine being queen in a time when old traditions are clashing with new beliefs. She's under constant scrutiny, every move analyzed. Talk about pressure.
And speaking of pressure, let's not forget Mordred. He seems to thrive on it. He's a master manipulator, using his knowledge of the law like a weapon to get what he wants. It shows how even the most well-intentioned systems can be twisted.
He really redefines playing the long game, doesn't he? Now, remember Cannibalinus? He represents this rising force of Christianity in Britain. He's challenging the old ways. And we see these cultural tensions, sometimes big, sometimes subtle, playing out throughout the entire story.
It really is like watching a cultural tapestry being woven right in front of you. Threads of different beliefs, traditions, loyalties, all intertwined. And speaking of loyalty, no one embodies that more than Lynette. She's totally devoted to Guinevere, willing to do anything to protect her.
Even risk her own safety, which happens pretty quickly, right? Guinevere, she decides to go on a secret journey. She's disguised in plain clothes, no less, and Lynette insists on going with her.
A good reminder that things aren't always what they seem. Clothing, as Cooper Posey portrays it, is a powerful tool. It can show authority, but it can also help you blend in, navigate tricky situations unnoticed.
And speaking of tricky, we can't forget the perilous chair. This seemingly ordinary piece of furniture, it's shrouded in mystery and fear. Is it really cursed, or is it the fear surrounding it that makes it so dangerous? Cooper Posey leaves us wondering.
Which is what good storytelling does, right? It makes us question, makes us see things from different angles. And speaking of perspectives, we get to meet a really interesting cast of characters in Camelot. They all have their own motivations, their own complexities.
Oh, absolutely. There's Lancelot, the picture of quiet strength and competence. You've got Gawain, blunt to the point, but fiercely loyal. And then there's Lucan. His faith is so central to who he is. Cooper Posey, she just brings these characters to life. She shows us their strengths, their flaws, and those impossible situations they often find themselves in.
It's that clash of personalities and loyalties, I think, that really sets the stage for everything that unfolds.
Oh, for sure. And at the heart of it all, you have this, very complicated relationship between Arthur, Guinevere, and Lancelot.
Right.
Cooper Posey, she doesn't shy away from the difficult realities of love, duty, the impossible choices these characters face.
Guinevere especially, I mean, talk about being caught between a rock and a hard place. She's the queen, bound to Arthur by tradition, by duty. But her heart, it belongs to Lancelot.
Right.
Lancelot, always the honorable knight, he's torn between his feelings for Guinevere and, well, his loyalty to the king.
Yeah, it's like this powder keg of emotions just waiting to explode. And we can't forget about Lynette and all of
Oh,
this.
absolutely not.
Her loyalty to Guinevere, it leads her down a dangerous road. She ends up at odds with the people she cares about most.
Makes you think, doesn't it? What would you do for someone you loved? Where's the line between loyalty and, well, protecting yourself? It's a question that stays with you, even after you finish the book.
It really does. And as if those relationships weren't enough, we have Mordred always lurking in the shadows, using every bit of chaos to his advantage.
Always.
And he makes his move at a very specific time, too, one of Camelot's most vulnerable points. He accuses Guinevere of a truly horrific crime. Murder.
Talk about a power play.
Right.
I mean, Mordred, he understands the weight of an accusation like that, especially against someone like Guinevere.
Yeah.
And the way he manipulates everything, using the law to carry out a personal vendetta, it's chilling.
The trial itself, the way Cooper Posey writes it, it's masterful.
It is.
She keeps you on the edge of your seat, wondering if truth, if justice, if they'll actually win out in the end.
One thing that struck me was how Cooper Posey used that trial, that single event, to show all the different ways people interpret justice.
Oh, yeah.
You have some who cling to the letter of the law, others who rely on faith, on divine intervention, and then there are those driven by loyalty, by personal connections.
It's against this backdrop of doubt, of uncertainty, that Lancelot steps forward as Guinevere's champion. Now, we all know Lancelot is a skilled warrior, but even he is taken aback when his victory is seen as a sign of, well, divine favor.
Yeah.
He becomes this reluctant hero, pushed into a role he never wanted.
Right.
And as the crowds are cheering, we see the weight of it all settling on him.
It reminds us that even triumph, it comes at a price.
It feels like the calm before the storm, you know?
Mm.
Because even though Guinevere is cleared of the charges, the trial, it leaves a mark. The aftershocks, they haven't even begun.
And those aftershocks, they hit Arthur hardest, I think. He's not just dealing with the betrayal of people he was close to, but his health, it's failing. That image of the invincible king, it crumbles a little, you know? He seems all too human.
It shows that even legends are vulnerable. That time, circumstance, they affect everyone. And as Arthur's strength is waning, we see Kai stepping up in a way no one expects.
Nobody.
He makes a huge decision.
He does.
To accept the kingship of Curnow.
Wow.
Now, for our listeners who might not remember, Curnow is a kingdom right on the edge of Saxon territory.
Right on the edge, yeah.
It's a choice full of risk. But it says so much about Kai, about his character. He's not an outsider anymore, not just observing.
He's in it now.
He's embraced this role, its burdens, its honor.
He has.
And it's a role that will test him in ways he never imagined, especially when he uncovers a shocking truth about Tristan, one of Arthur's most trusted knights.
Oh, that's where things take a turn, don't they? We discover Tristan has, well, he's descended into madness. He's a danger to everything Arthur has fought so hard to build.
Yeah, and just as we're dealing with that revelation, Cooper Posey throws us another curveball, the theft of Excalibur's scabbard.
Right, because, you know, for those who need a little refresher, Excalibur's scabbard, it wasn't just some ordinary sheath.
Right.
Legend says that as long as Arthur carried it, he was safe, protected. So stealing it, that's a big deal.
Huge. It's like, symbolically, it feels like the foundation of Camelot is cracking. If even Arthur isn't safe, what hope does the kingdom have? It really is like everyone's walking on eggshells, you know, this feeling of impending doom just hanging over Camelot.
Yeah.
And, well, in all of this, Guinevere, she takes on this task, and it's both surprising and, I don't know, revealing.
Okay.
She's tasked with basically gathering food from the people of Camelot.
Oh, wow.
To help those suffering in, I think they called it the summer country.
Right, right.
What do you make of that? What's Cooper Posey doing there, do you think?
It's interesting, isn't it, that contrast? I mean, Guinevere, she's carrying the weight of the trial, the rumors that are still swirling around.
Yeah.
And she throws herself into this act of service. It says a lot about her, her character, you know, her compassion.
And it's not exactly, you know, a glamorous job.
No, not at all.
Going door to door, asking for help, for donations.
Right.
It shows a different side of leadership, don't you think? One you don't always see.
Absolutely. It's not always about giving orders, sitting in a position of power. Sometimes it's about, well, getting your hands dirty, doing the hard work, even when no one's really watching.
And throughout it all, that trial, it's still there. It's like the shadow following her, the whispers, the doubts, the feeling that maybe true justice, it wasn't served.
Right. And let's not forget Lucan in all of this.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He's the one who stepped up, put his own faith, his belief in his own, you know, purity on the line to defend her.
It makes you wonder what was going through his mind after the trial. Did he ever have second thoughts?
It's a question Cooper Posey leaves us with, isn't it?
Hmm.
Did he ever doubt? Did he question the nature of truth, of justice, in a world where things aren't always as they appear? We don't get a definite answer, but she gives us plenty to think about.
She really does. And speaking of thinking, what about Mordred? I mean, throughout all of this, what's he thinking? What's he planning?
Oh, I think Mordred, he's loving every minute of this. This is his element, you know. Chaos, uncertainty. He's the puppet master pulling the strings, watching the kingdom unravel.
It's a good thing Arthur has people like Kai around. And actually, speaking of Kai, it's his idea to find Lancelot. Can you believe that? Bringing back the one person who almost destroyed Camelot.
It's a bold move, for sure. Mm-hmm. But it shows how much Kai's grown, how much he understands Camelot now, all its intricacies.
Yeah.
He's thinking beyond the obvious, you know, realizing that sometimes you need to do the unexpected, break the rules a little. And it also highlights, I think, the depth of Lynette's loyalty.
Right.
She agrees to use her gift, her ability to find Lancelot, even though it means facing those complicated feelings she has for him.
Talk about being put to the test.
Right. And then they set off on this incredibly dangerous journey. They face storms, treacherous seas, all to bring Lancelot back for a trial he already won. The stakes couldn't be higher.
And just when you think it can't get any worse, they find Lancelot hiding in Merlin's cave, only to be attacked almost immediately.
Right.
As if to remind us that in Camelot, nowhere is truly safe.
Exactly.
And during that attack, in the chaos of it all, Kai finally learns the truth about Lancelot and Guinevere. He finds out about that law, the one that brands a queen's, well, infidelity, as treason. You see it click for him, how the weight of that knowledge changes everything.
It's a huge realization for him. He understands the gravity of the situation now, what's truly at stake. Nothing's the same after that.
And poor Lynette. She gets hit during the attack, knocked unconscious.
Oh, no.
She wakes up days later, totally unaware of what happened at the trial.
Oh, wow.
Her relief when she finds out Guinevere is safe is huge. But you can tell something's off. That feeling of unease just hangs there.
And understandably so. I mean, she knows, even though the immediate danger is gone, that trial is going to have consequences for everyone.
And just when we're processing all of that, Cooper Posey, she throws us one final curveball. Arthur, he does something completely unexpected.
Right.
He names Kai. He names him King of Kerr now.
Wow.
It's this incredible act of trust, but also, wow, what a responsibility.
It's a reminder that even in the midst of all the chaos, life goes on. New leaders have to step up. The cycle of power, it continues.
Grace of Lancelot, it's so much more than just a retelling of an old legend. It's about relationships, about duty, about how truth and loyalty, they're not always clear-cut.
They're not. And it makes you think, even after you finish reading it.
It does. What's your biggest takeaway from it? For me, I think it's how Cooper Posey shows us that there are always multiple sides to a story. That truth, it's subjective. It's slippery.
That's a great point. You know, what struck me most was that sense of peace being so fragile. How easily it can be shattered by things from within, threats from outside.
As we leave the world of Camelot, that's a question we can all ask ourselves. What are we willing to sacrifice for peace? And when does the cost become too high? Something to think about.